Welcome back to the Inside Commerce Newsletter video shorts. And in this 15-minute masterclass, well, roughly 15 minutes, I'm going to be talking about pricing psychology in e-commerce. It's an area I'm hugely fascinated in. There is so much information and research out there in terms of like psychological experiments to test the impact of pricing change and behavior that is well worth thinking about the principles and what you can then test and apply into your store. There is a Da Vinci quote that's used in Nick Kalender's amazing ebook on pricing psychology that sums up what I'm talking about today, which is all our knowledge has its origin in our perceptions. So pricing is perception. How we each react to the same price can be different, so depending on our perspectives. For me, looking at a price, I might think this seems really expensive, and to you, you might think that seems reasonably priced. For this reason, price is not an absolute. And if we understand what can shape perception, then we can influence how our customers are perceiving price. This doesn't mean lying and misleading. It's about understanding how we can influence the way that people look at price in a more positive way. So let's look at this. I'm going to explore 10 practical ways to do this for e-commerce today. But first, the building blocks. So three fundamental building blocks. I know there's probably more, but three I focus on. Number one, shoppers evaluate prices through comparison and relativity. How does this price compare to what I'm used to? Related items, and how expensive is it relative to other things that I am aware of? The next thing is price and value aren't the same thing. Price is the number, value is what we interpret that price to mean to us and whether we therefore perceive the product as or service as being of value to us individually based on that price, and are we willing to pay that? And depending on our value perception, people are willing to pay more or less than each other. That's an interesting thing, why price is not this absolute. The next thing, the final building block, is human perception can be changed by reframing mindsets. I'll give you an example of a psychological experiment I think is brilliant. So there's a team in the US. They were testing selling postcards. They were selling them for $3 a piece. So they sold them at $3 a piece. They had the boards like, buy these postcards, $3. They measured what the sales rate was. Then they reframed the way they presented and pitched it, both on the boards and also how they spoke to people in bars and said, hey, look, these postcards are 300 cents. That's only $3. And simply by changing the way they described the price, they had an uptick in conversion. Price was the same, but they reframed the perception. So with that in mind, let's look at these 10 tactics. So number one is price fluency. The more syllables in the price, the harder it is for us to understand and the longer it takes us to process it. For example, 120 is 6 syllables. 117, 49 is 10 syllables. And this is why breakpoints work, because breakpoints can help simplify pricing because A, we get used to the price breakpoint, whether it's like 0.50 or round pounds, and therefore there's consistency. But also it's why some retailers are tested removing commas, and this works in more premium brands particularly well. Removing the comma can make people in their head say the price in digits rather than in words. So say, for example, it was £1,200. With the comma, we stop and because the comma makes us perceive the thousand is, £1,200. Without the comma, it's £1,200. So, and there are regional variances in this. So in the US, this tends to be more how people are reading the pricing. So we also got to tease out local variations in how people respond to price. Number two is price structure. So people process pricing quicker when it is written in simple numbers. What do I mean by this? So £25, 25.00, because we're used to two decimal places in the UK, and obviously lots of European countries use some two decimal places too. So $25.00. is easier for us to process than 23.68 just because it's all four digits are completely different. So sometimes simplifying pricing by changing a few decimal places can actually help people process the price quicker, make it feel like a simpler price then. However, and there are always caveats, for high price, really considered items where it's a complicated product or service, and therefore there are a lot of different calculations that have to go into correcting the end price, a precise number can actually give more reassurance to the shopper because it communicates greater accuracy and therefore quality in what's being sold. For example, B2B plant machinery. We have a plant machinery item that is £12,000 flat price versus £12,145.69. The £12,145.69 feels like a lot more effort and time has gone into thinking about the right price considering whether it's right and getting that price accurate for the customer based on that complex product. So we have to take these rules and principles with a slight pinch of salt, because we've got to make sure that they apply consistently. We've got to test them rather than just making blanket changes. So on to number three, which is to anchor high prices with even larger numbers. A good example is in pet care. Well, there's a few pet care brands where they sell a lot of singles, but they also sell bulk packs. The bulk packs, well, they want to get people into buying because the bulk packs get people into a longer buying cycle of the product, and therefore there's more resistance to change brands after using it for months rather than weeks. However, the bulk pack is a lot more expensive and therefore feels like a bigger outlay and a bigger risk, and then the whole thing of buyer's remorse kicks in. So when that price feels high, if you anchor it by placing it next to an even larger number, that can help reduce the perception of how expensive the product is. And here's a good example. So a £40 bulk pack of dry pet food is anchored with trusted by more than 5,000 pet owners like you. That's one example. Another one is a membership organization that has an annual subscription fee. I can't remember the one, it's about £80, £90. But then next to it, join 10,000 members. So instantly that £89 feels a lot lower because of the 10,000 that's put next to it. We are reframing people's minds. So the next thing on price is to break price down into smaller units like daily equivalents. Here's a good example. So a pet food subscription for 3 months, so it's £30 per month. The subscription, £90 for 3 months, feels like a lot of outlay. But if you flip that and say, this is feed your dog for only £1 a day, all of a sudden that feels really low. It's like, oh, okay, it's only £1 a day to fill my dog really good nutritional food. Fantastic, that feels better. And this same principle is why in verses like beauty, you have people giving per 100 milliliters, and that's now become a requirement for brands to do this, so that people can see smaller units and smaller costs. And daily equivalents are probably one of the best ways of doing this. Right, on to practical tip number five, and that is to place small words near prices. So I remember seeing this on a website where they were promoting USPs next to the product prices for higher items. So something like an indoor shrub that might be £45 per really nice plant. But it was words like huge demand and long lasting. So genuine USPs or persuasion messaging, but actually it was using magnitude of large S rather than small. So people then go, £45 huge, large, all this is big. And it's amazing how our mindset can, because we talked about we group things together. Well, actually, if we're grouping items that are close together and that influences how we perceive the other items they're next to, then what we want to do is change the language around higher price points and use words that are referencing things that are smaller. So a good example on the shrubs one, I saw people testing like low upkeep. So again, it's the USP, but it's reframed to use words like low, small, tiny to help take away the emphasis of the large price. So that's number five. Let's go on to number six, and alliteration. So psychologists have found that alliterative words, that's hard to say, create a pleasant sensation, and therefore making pricing, whether it's the wording the actual price itself and the syllables in, or words alongside the price, making that alliterative can actually give people a feeling of pleasure because of the way that they're saying out that price in their head. An example for this would be things like two t-shirts for £20. So it creates a nice flow in it. In the US, there are a couple of brands who played around with this. I think the example I saw was Wendy's having a $4 for $4 promotion. Subway had a $5 foot long. So creating a flow in the language that has that impact of alliteration. So again, these are things that are quite easy to test. So that's number five. On to number six. That was number six. On to number seven, which is put larger numbers on the left. Now, I've seen this a lot of times where people will have a now price, then the was price next to it. But actually, if you think about how in most countries, I can't speak for every country in the world, but we're brought up with mathematical formulas where the calculation goes towards the equal on the right and the end sum on the right. We process it along that way. So having was now save is a more logical way. Was 50, now 30, save 20, because then we do the maths of the 50 minus 30 equals 20, and our brains can make sense of that formula far, far quicker. It seems a bit of a strange thing to say, but it's amazing what the brain is doing subconsciously without us actually realizing. So if we can calculate the difference quicker, we can perceive the difference in the value quicker. So again, a good thing to test in if you don't have that as your default way of presenting different numbers when you've got was, now, price. Okay, so that was number 7. I'm up to date with my numbers now. I'm on to number 8, which is to describe product costs. And I thought this was quite an interesting study, and one I came across quite recently. So a retailer in the US increased sales via email by showing the product costs and breaking it down into the component parts. So instead of just being, you know, $29.99 for this product, they had a relatively expensive product. It was a $100 plus leather wallet. And within that, they showed the cost of materials, cost of labor, shipping, duties, etc. They broke these down because then they added credibility to why they were charging this premium price for the product, and therefore showed about the quality of the materials because of the money that they were spending to get good quality product. So they built the story around the quality, but also were more transparent in their pricing. Now, that's a bold move, and it won't suit everybody. Not every business is going to want to be transparent on those costs, especially if it's going to reveal more to their competitors. And I thought that was quite cool. And I guess if you are if you're a brand that controls its own products and only sells its own products, it's an easier thing to do rather than if you're a brand, a multi-brand retailer, or you're selling across so many different marketplaces and channels where it becomes harder to do so. But in your D2C, that's quite a nice way of creating transparency, but also demonstrating value. Let's move on to number 9, encourage customers to spend early. So this relates to the fact that there is less buying remorse when the costs have already been incurred ahead of the time when either the product's received or the service is received. So a good example of this is you go on a holiday and you rent a car and you spend £200-300 euros, pick your currency, and you've done that 4 weeks in advance. And when you actually get there, you don't have that outlay and you feel better because you're picking up the car, costs are already gone, and it feels like the holiday's cheaper than it actually is. And I do that to myself all the time by sinking costs early, so that when I'm on holiday, I'm not worried about it. And that comes into the whole buyer's remorse thing. When we see costs mounting and mounting and mounting, it makes us a little bit more nervous about continuing to spend. And interesting, I came across a Shopify app recently called Flare, which basically is tapping into this whole principle, is that enables people to early purchase, which helps retailers to gauge demand. It helps also retailers from stock management point of view and helps them with replan by knowing what the early demand is, and enables the retailer to give pricing incentives to people for buying early. And I think this is really smart because if there's a benefit to people sinking costs and you incentivize them for purchasing early, you push forward your purchase curve, but also you give a reward to the customer. That's number 9. So let's move on to the last one, which is I'm going to do a B2B centric one. And that is, it can apply to D2C, but this is more applicable to B2B, which is, when you are selling a range of options, and this is a classic good, better, best, take software as a service, vendors online, where you pay for a subscription online and you might have a free, a starter and an enterprise, all different prices, then emphasizing the most popular product helps to anchor people. And you can anchor them around a price in which is neither lowest or the highest, but has a lot of product benefits to it, which demonstrate the value of taking that one versus like a free or a low cost version. I have seen some evidence about showing the highest one then actually means you end up increasing your sales rate overall, because people then perceive the middle and the low ones to be even more value because the cost is so much lower. But the problem is, if that's not your most popular, it can put people off at thinking that that's what you're trying to gear them towards when it might not be the right one. So often it's emphasizing the most popular, which tends to be in a lot of these products, the middle ground. So those are my top 10 tips. As with any scientific research, there are caveats and exceptions to every rule. You know, for example, there's a principle memory app more strongly to red fonts in pricing, but there's research in 2020 that found red pricing adversely impacted a retailer's sales. So test, test, test. Love to know if you found that useful. Let me know by the comments. And anyone else who's been out there playing around and doing really cool things with pricing and testing, please do also share insights into what have you found as well. What principles do you think are really relevant to e-commerce? Thank you.